This morning, I'm talking about spiritual transformation and the advancing life. Have you ever heard of the phrase, you are your own worst enemy? Probably you have heard it. I think that this phrase is a truism. Many people too easily defeat themselves with self-defeating kind of thinking, and in so doing this, they lose their opportunity for transformation. We tell ourselves that we are not worthy, we're not good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, intelligent enough, and so forth. Then some religions confirm that we're bad, we're sinners, and so forth. Also, some disciples have carried these destructive thoughts with them into this incarnation, carried over from the last life, or from the influences of the time that they were in their mother's womb, and now find themselves lacking in confidence, self-worth, or a sense of self. So no matter the reason, these waves of thinking are retrogressive. So even from this more superficial look at life, we can recognize that if we want to live a happy life and experience joy, we need to change how we look at ourselves and begin to live an evolutionary life. To plan for future beauties and leave the darkness behind. Transformation does something very deep. It is a treatment that releases our unfolding human soul in such a way that we begin to live life with more meaning, more energy, more beauty, more creativity. The teaching of Agni Yoga indicates that spiritual transformation should begin from birth. In the book Fiery World 3, verse 499, Master M said, spirituality is both an earned and natural quality. He says on the middle steps, it can be cultivated, but it is necessary to begin such transformation from birth. One must provide a pure atmosphere, not darken the imagination with base views, but learn to rejoice at the truly highest and beautiful. Now let me add another point made by about transformation written by Helena Rourke to one of her students. She wrote, I fear that my directions may be disliked by some, and I have reasons for thinking this, but as it is said, the teaching is not soothing syrup. It is a severe crucifying of self and a tense transformation of one's lower nature through the finest fires. She said, soothing syrup perhaps may be appropriate on the first step, but the teaching requires the severe and beautiful flowers of self-denial. Those who prefer soothing syrup had better not touch the fiery food prepared for those who choose self-denial. Pretty profound statement. Those who choose self-denial. So what is transformation? The teaching says that transformation means a change of form. that it is a process in which we change our level of consciousness. And when this occurs, these changes then are reflected in various ways. So for example, our body form changes, our face changes, even our organs change. These forms adapt themselves to the level of our consciousness. Eventually, through transformation, our body will be an exact reflection of our consciousness, just as the bodies of great initiates are. Imagine that. Transformation also happens to the emotional body when a person no longer hates, gossips, or gets angry because they have eliminated the corresponding emotional forms or elements. Transformation on the mental plane starts when ugly thought forms that are not really in accord with the highest visions of the person has for himself begins to change. So, in essence, transformation is a process in which the life of the disciple undergoes changes which reflect his or her advancement in consciousness. In other words, all of these forms, the physical form, the emotional form, the mental form, must graduate. And thus, transformation is an essential process for each of us, those of us who strive. Transformation is absolutely essential. We are so smart, but we have not yet learned how to change ourselves, how to transform ourselves. Even though we are smart, our vices and habits control us, control our forms. For example, vanity. Vanity is a vice. It is an enemy to transformation. Ego, oh boy. Ego is an enemy. With ego, a person really thinks they are hot stuff. They are really something. Okay, let's say that we think we are really, really something. We're really hot stuff. Okay. We need to ask ourselves what we have done to be so hot. What have we done to uplift the consciousness of humanity? Whenever a person thinks they are something, exactly then they are not, because anything they do not have, yet want to be, they run after and they begin to imitate. It is a sign that they do not have anything. You do not have anything when you are imitating what you want to be. So imitation in this sense is an enemy to one's transformation. Imitation keeps us stagnant, confuses us. This is why flattery is so dangerous. When we flatter others, they begin to think that they are the flattery that their friend keeps flattering them with. But then they disappoint themselves because they can't step into the shoes of what they have been flattered with. So imitation keeps them stagnant, confused, and leads the person to the path of involution. So what are we going to do? The moral lesson is that we are going to take care of our physical, emotional, and mental forms through the process of transformation. The process. So we have a physical form, an emotional form, a mental form, and we are going to lead these three forms in such a way that they are not going to be controlled by our enemies. Christ called the enemy of transformation the larger door which leads to death. The larger door which leads to death. That's the enemy of transformation. He said the larger door is all those influences that turn our direction toward the involutionary path. When a person recognizes the uphill, the evolutionary struggles of life, to even consider taking steps on the involutionary path is what nightmares are made of. A middle-aged man was talking to a philosopher, and he said to the philosopher, "Do you know me?" And the philosopher said, "Yes, yes, I know you." And the man said, "Well, what do you think about me?" The philosopher said, "Well, you are a cabbage." He said, "You're right, but nobody told me that I was a cabbage." He said, "You know, I have 6 diplomas. I also have doctoral degrees. But I am a slave of sex. Something in my mind is wrong." Well, the philosopher said, "You need the medicine of resurrection." "You are kidding," the man said. "No," the philosopher said, "I am not kidding. You need it. My prescription for you is resurrection. Until you pull yourself out, put all of your diplomas in a bag and throw them away, they do not mean anything. The diploma is an accumulation of furniture. Resurrection is beingness, the transformation of your being." We turn to the involutionary path when we are obeying our blind urges and drives, our negative emotions, our absurdities, our vanities and ego. Those people who have the power to pull us toward the larger, distracting door of involution are the enemies of our transformation. We are led to this door of distraction by those who create subtle methods to overstimulate us, to overstimulate our sex urge and lead us to license, by those who overstimulate our negative emotions and lead us to wars and hatred and crime, and by those who overstimulate our ego and vanity, even separatism and greed, leading us to an involutionary path. And people still say, "Why is humanity the way it is today?" We are led to this door of distraction by these subtle methods. The larger door, the door of involution, takes us to disintegration, degeneration, apathy, inertia, depression, darkness, and death. So what can we do to avoid this door of distraction and those who try to lead us there? We must train ourselves to be keen observers. So listen to what I'm saying here and really put yourself into this lecture as it's talking to you, as it is you yourself, and that you're saying, "Yes, I want to undergo this process of transformation, particularly if you believe, as I so much do, believe in reincarnation. We don't want to come back like that man whose philosopher told him, "You're a cabbage." We don't want to come back as cabbages, life after life after life. So here we are on a path that has been given to us by great ones. And they're telling us now about this path of transformation. And they're telling us that this path of transformation is a process that we can engage in. A disciple must develop the power of observation to learn how to recognize those who are leading us and leading the members of society to that larger door that is taking humanity into a portal of darkness, living a mechanical, purposeless life. A disciple can engage in the process of transformation, but if they are drawn into that portal of darkness, they can become a backslider. What is a backslider? Backsliders are those who start out climbing the mountain of transformation and then something goes wrong in their life. Some situation comes up and there's that big door of distraction standing there and we slide all the way down. The mountain in this example symbolizes a goal. Climbing the mountain of transformation. The mountain symbolizes a goal, in this case a vision, that is in front of the person, which they by every means possible are trying to actualize. But then something goes wrong, a distraction, a glamour, an illusion, a vanity, ego, self-interest, and jealousy interferes and pulls them down. When a person turns against their goal, when they turn against their vision, they slide down the mountain becoming a backslider. Just like a person who climbs a mountain and goes higher and higher toward the summit and then slides down the mountain. No matter how many churches the person attends, or whom they pretend to worship. At this stage, the person either totally forgets about climbing, the process of transformation, or they become an enemy who works against their goals and against those who have similar goals. A person whose main goal in life is to transform their beingness, to render a great and beautiful service to humanity, to serve the great ones, and bring greater light and beauty and peace to earth, who then turns against these goals, is a real backslider. A backslider is one who tries to discover their true self and then has their attention taken away from that goal by the pleasures of the world or different interests which serves only the body, such as sex, their stomach, hatred, and revenge. A person in this condition works against their true self, against their true interests. A lady once wrote to me saying, I am going to manifest my inner divinity. I am going to serve the beauty in myself and others. A few months later, I heard that she was engaged in slander and malice. She somehow became a backslider. When you work against the aspiration and striving of your higher self, you become a backslider. People sometimes think that the goal justifies the means. This is a formula used by backsliders. When my teacher was a student in a monastery, there was a boy who protected everyone who was in trouble. Suppose you stomped on my foot and hurt me, and I started to beat you. This boy would come and protect you. My teacher asked one of his teachers what kind of psychology this was, and the teacher replied, that boy is a masterpiece. He protects everyone because he feels no one should be beaten or abused. It is a natural sense for him to protect people. So do we protect each other? When someone gossips or slanders another, do we protect that person who is being slandered? Or do you say, I know he is really bad? Right? It's easy just to kind of fall into that trap. You may suddenly awaken and say, I am going to protect those who are under attack, whether they are right or wrong. See, no judgment. Do you see the protector is on the advancing path of consciousness? It is interesting to know that the enemies of transformation are found in our mind as post-hypnotic suggestions. They are spoken ideas that can convince, let's say, the unconscious person, the unaware person, the unthinking person, to convince them to take actions that will impede their progress. Spoken or written ideas. Now pay attention to this and see if this has ever happened to you, or have you recognized when you were in the process of keen observation, others falling under the influence of such ideas and suggestions. Be cautious in making time for self-improvement. So what does this mean, taking time for self-improvement? Taking time to study the teaching, that means I can't watch TV with you, honey. Or I can't go to that movie, sweetheart. Because I am undergoing this process of transformation, which asks me to engage in time, to take time out, to study the teaching, to come to a class. Well, Aunt Tilly is going to be here this weekend. We haven't seen her for 5 years. You have to stay here. You have to stay home. And you must entertain Aunt Tilly, because I can't. Think of it. You haven't seen Aunt Tilly for 5 years, but you're willing to give up your process of transformation for a person who hasn't had time to see you in over 5 years? What about if that hour that you spend in class and then you go back home and see Aunt Tilly, you're a better person? And Aunt Tilly is going to want to spend the rest of her life with you. Taking time for self-improvement means studying the teaching, coming to class, attending group meditation gatherings. Or you're told, or you feel, you know, I don't need any more self-improvement. Gosh, I've been through classes, I've been through therapy, I do this, I do that, I'm done with it. Take me as I am. I feel I do not need any self-improvement. And so you withdraw from group activities and meetings which are related to spiritual progress. Well, I'm pretty tired now. You know, and I work, my gosh, I work 7 to 9 to 10, sometimes 12 hours a day. I don't have time to attend group activities or meetings that are related to the process of transformation. I'm too busy with this job. Do you see how many times did someone encourage you to stay home? Encourage you to cease meditating, to miss a morning meditation? Encouraged you to drop out of your spiritual courses or spiritual activities designed for your advancement. Activities which were designed to help your unfolding process of self-improvement and transformation. Another post-hypnotic suggestion is to think about the uselessness of any effort towards self-transformation. This is especially a big trap for the young person and for the elderly. The young person wants to be popular with his age group, wants to be the same as their friends. And the elderly person has lost their enthusiasm for change and feels the embers of their life dying out. They are both post-hypnotic suggestions. There are subconscious resistances that urge a person not to worry about transformation, such as, you know, transformation attracts attacks. Or, look, most people are average. Why bother to be better than they are? Or, it is really too hard, and it's going to change my present circumstances. I want to stay the same and in that way not cause any upsets in my life. And these lists do not stop here. There is yet one more list of hindrances to our personal transformation. And these are 5 points. The first is irritation. The next is hatred. The next is fault-finding habits. Then ingratitude, and finally, worry. It's pretty hard not to find something on these three lists that are not in our life. But the good news is now that knowing what these hindrances and actions are, we can begin to eliminate them. Now, transformation needs focus. Focus. Focus is a key word, key action for transformation. In the book Hierarchy, it talks about psychic energy and focus. It says, psychic energy certainly emanates from each organism that possesses it. But in order to receive a direct result, one must gather and focus this psychic energy consciously. This consciousness is like a burning glass. It is necessary to discriminate between an unconscious flow of psychic energy and a sharpened arrow of precise consciousness. Even if the highest energy does not reach the goal when sent unconsciously, then how greatly in need of a focus is human energy. Destroy the focus and the fire will not be manifested. Without fire, darkness and cold await us. Let us remember how the vivifying heat and light can reach us. Without a focus on the process of transformation, there will be no or little change. Without a focus on the process of transformation, there will be little to no change. We must gather psychic energy within ourselves to initiate transformation. As MM indicated, if you destroy your focus and the fire, then the life needed for transformation is not going to manifest. For example, we must have specific times during a day or week to concentrate on this process of transformation, to focus on the process, to engage in a particular activity that will lead to our transformation. The first step can be, as you can imagine, meditation, seed thought meditation. The next step is to begin an elimination process. See, meditation is the way we accumulate psychic energy. So every day, sometimes some people meditate just for 5 minutes a day. Other people meditate 24 hours a day. Those whose consciousness knows how to contemplate. Either way, that's the first step, and that's the accumulation where the accumulation process of psychic energy occurs. Now, the next step is the elimination process. See the sharpened arrow of precise consciousness that MM was talking about. Let's take, for example, the third list of hindrances: irritation, hatred, fault-finding habits, ingratitude, and worry. The first on that list is irritation. What are you going to do to eliminate the causes of irritation? This is where observation, keen observation, comes in. Observe these things in your nature. Another step to experience is during the quiet hours of the early morning or at sunset. Think of all the things that cause worry in you. Then let those things go or eliminate them from your life. You can even begin to create a list through your observation. Get a big notebook. Then focus on eliminating these things, these objects or influences that cause worry within you. You may say, but that is too hard, for it will mean eliminating. It may mean eliminating some people from my life. There you go. Okay, so there is still a remedy, and that remedy is love. For example, let's say that there is something your spouse does that really, really irritates you. So what are you going to do? Are you going to kick him out of the house? Probably not. You're going to find other parts of their nature to concentrate on. Their good looks, the way they love you, the things they do during the day which brings you joy, and so forth. Pretty soon you will let go of that irritation. Do you see? You are going to concentrate on the things that you really love about your spouse, your child, your friend, your coworker, your neighbor, and so forth. Any element that creates agitation and discord between your three bodies prevents the process of transformation. Such elements can be physical, emotional, mental, and the sources can be from outside or inside. There was a king who is the enemy of Buddha. He collected 5,000 of Buddha's disciples and killed them. I almost did not include the talk, this story this morning because of, you know, what's happened in Texas, but let's set that aside, you know, because the significance of this story is very powerful, because it is a story of transformation. Maybe we can transfer this transformative process that Buddha's disciple underwent, you know, to those in this country particularly, so they too can recognize the power of the process of transformation. Anyhow, so this king who is an enemy of Buddha, he collected 5,000 of Buddha's disciples and killed them. Then he tried various ways and means to kill Buddha. Buddha said, "You cannot fight against a man who is enlightened," which means he's closer to God. The king started to do everything possible to kill Buddha. Then one day he found that his whole body was swollen like a pig's. At the same time, he heard a voice say, "In a few days, you're going to pass away." The king said, "I must go to Buddha and confess." So the king went before the man who had nothing else but a shirt. Buddha said, "I forgive you. Now go and live a decent life and do not fight against light." He conquered the king. The king became one of those who collected many, many manuscripts of the teacher and published them. God always conquers. Transformation is carried on in tension and focus. Your focus and the tension of your threefold bodies must reach such a degree that together they reject all attacks of hindrances, and together they increase in tension and striving toward transformation. Once your tension and focus reach a certain degree, then the various attacks released toward you that send you to that big, open, distracting door now can be used to increase your tension and focus. When these various attacks released toward you, you can be used to increase. These attacks can be used to increase your tension and your focus. At such a level, crises and problems turn into opportunities. At certain turns in the road, it is possible that a person will reverse their course and backslide. A person can become a backslider mm-hmm. when they slander those who are sacrificing themselves to spread light and beauty. That person is building a dark karma that years later prevents them from entering into light until the consequences of their deeds are paid for. So even with heavy karma, it is possible for a person to transform themselves if in their heart there is compassion, gratitude, forgiveness, and a firm decision to go ahead and stay on this path of transformation in spite of conditions. Each of our thoughts, feelings, emotions, words, and actions uses either evolutionary energy or involutionary energies, or forces, sorry, forces, involutionary forces. Thoughts, feelings, emotions, words, and actions are devoted to the principles of freedom, beauty, unity, and synthesis. These principles use the energy of evolution, and because of this, a person is carried forward on the path of perfection. However, if that person's thoughts, feelings, emotions, words, and actions are used to degenerate, used to create ugliness, crime, hatred, revenge, treason, irritation, or destruction, then they are using the forces of involution. Such actions lead the person towards separatism, inertia, depression, and death that is combined with pain and suffering. In other words, each backslider faces a future of horrors, pain, and suffering. So don't fall into this swamp. Focus. Concentrate on the star of your vision, your North Star. Sometimes backsliding is temporary, but the consequences last for a very long time. We can slide in a moment, but at that moment, we can injure ourselves for life. This is why the Great One warned us to be continuously watchful and alert. One little thought, one little emotion, one little act can short-circuit you. And then you are out of the path of transformation. But if your heart is full of aspiration, you eventually overcome your enemies and re-enter the path. And let me close with this. On the path of your transformation, you must have the love of your teacher, who stays with you in all conditions, even risking themselves in some cases. As long as you carry love in your heart toward your teacher, you will never be left without help, with one exception. And that exception is treason. Treason cuts the silver cord between the traitor and the teacher and leaves the traitor in desperate conditions. So this is what the teaching gives us as a gift to transform our life.